You're listening to the Just Lead Podcast, and the time to turn it up is right now. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Just Lead Podcast. My name is Brad.
Whoa.
And as always, I'm here with Mark. Q.
Another week.
Hey, PQ, let everybody know how they can email in their situation.
You know, every episode that we do
right
on this podcast
for sure
comes from our listeners. Mm-hmm. Emailing a situation in.
Absolutely.
And they email it to hello@justlead.me.
Perfect.
Hello.
Yes. hello@justlead.me, and we'll try to tackle it in a future episode. And just a reminder to everybody, new episodes release on the first and third Wednesday of the month. And of course,
And we never use, we change the names of the innocent to protect the, is that how you say it?
Change the names to protect the innocent.
That's it.
Absolutely.
In this episode, we got...
Yeah, we got an email from Jade. She said...
Which is basically a made-up name.
Yes.
It's a real name, but it's made-up name because we are protecting...
The innocent. Absolutely. So Jade emailed us with a couple of different situations from work and family, but here's what I thought was the most notable part. She said, I'm not confident in confrontation whatsoever. I try to avoid conflict and addressing it at all costs. I know that sweeping it under the rug isn't the healthy thing to do, but confrontation is just so daunting. So PQ, let's talk a little bit about confrontation.
It's crazy. What's funny is I'll talk to people and they go, you just love it. You love when people argue. You love to argue. You love to.
And there are definitely different attitudes towards it.
Oh, for sure. And I don't love to argue, but I don't kowtail in confrontation because what I have found when confrontation is done really healthy, it is maybe the most powerful catalyst for building relationships.
Yes.
So we do know. I think a lot of times we avoid confrontation because we've seen it done. Incredibly poorly.
Yes.
And so we go, no, I don't want to start an argument. Things will never be the same.
Yeah.
You know, they won't look at me the same. I may say something that I regret later. Well, you have no discipline then. That's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
But let's be clear that when confrontation is done correctly, there are ways to do confrontation correctly. When it's done correctly, it can be one of the biggest, most effective catalysts for building strong, lasting relationships.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I think the first thing that we should talk about is probably just having a level of self-awareness of just our overall relationship to confrontation, how we feel about it. I think that it's important to understand that there's different, you know, parts of the spectrum when it comes to confrontation.
Right.
So I think there's four of them. And so let's talk about each of these, and then that'll kind of frame up our discussion.
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking over our notes, I mean, they all wind up starting with an A, so I don't want to be corny. So the first attitude towards confrontation is like the avoidant. Right?
Yes.
You're just going to avoid confrontation at any cost. You're just going to sweep it under the rug and let it roll off your back, or at least you think you are.
Sounds like that's where Jade's at. Like, I don't want to deal with this.
So she'll let it go.
Right.
You know, the reality is it's going to fester and it's going to show up somewhere else.
Right.
You know, so I think the first
Rex
one
from
is
Toy Story.
Ooh, I like that.
He says, I don't like confrontation.
And then he runs away, waddles away. Right. Yeah. I think the second attitude towards confrontation is aggressive.
Right.
Which I personally is my favorite one. It's aggressive. Like, bring it on. Let's go. Here we go. I think aggressive people will sometimes look for it. There's avoid at all costs. Aggressive people towards confrontation might look for it. And then there's the ambiguous. Like,
this is a big one.
This is actually
probably the most common.
Exactly, where the most people fit into. It's the kind of the passive aggressive. It makes an attempt at confrontation, but not really. It's not super clear. I kind of went down that road, but they, you know, I saw their face and I was like, no, forget it.
Yeah.
So it's like they try it.
But they like soft land the communication.
And they're really
it's not
what,
direct.
Exactly right. So nothing ever gets really solved.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what we have to remember, there are things that we have to change in our life, but they won't change without confrontation. Some things will change on their own.
Yes.
Some things will have a life of its own and change. But there are some things without confrontation will not change.
Like what?
Here's an example. The way someone speaks to me. They may not notice the way they speak to me. They use vulgar language, or they tell, for me, I don't want to hear, you know, dirty jokes. I don't want to hear, you know, personal details about your love affairs, whatever it is. I don't want to hear certain lingo. Well, for them, it's normal. So for them, It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't like it unless I'm willing in a healthy way to confront and go, hey, can you do me a favor? Man, I don't really want to know that stuff. It won't change.
Yeah.
That's what some things will change on their own, but a lot of things in our life will not change without confrontation.
For sure.
And what I have learned is, we don't get to complain about the things that we allow.
Mm. Yeah.
We allow them to happen, yet yeah. we'll complain. So we turn into these complainers. Just don't complain about the things you allow. There are just some things that are not going to change without confrontation.
Absolutely. And that ambiguous approach to confrontation can sometimes be the most damaging because it leaves the person being more confused. It's like, wait, am I supposed to change something? Am I supposed to move right. forward? I don't know exactly maybe what behavior or something of that nature that you're addressing. So now it's not even aggressive or avoidant. Now I'm just confused.
Right. You know? Yeah. Instead of bringing clarity
yeah.
to maybe the confrontation, mm-hmm. it actually might create a level of frustration because everybody's confused. The reality is if we're not willing to confront, mm-hmm. then we must not want to change as much.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really good.
Don't be willing. You got to be. To the degree that we're willing to confront things mm-hmm. will be to the degree that we really actually want change.
Of course.
And that's where the ambiguous person lands.
Yeah.
They don't really know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I can live with it a little bit more. Maybe I can. And then, of course, the fourth A in attitudes towards confrontation is the active.
Right.
It's
the healthy approach.
It's the healthiest. They're understanding, ooh, I know that I'm going to have to address that in a healthy way. I'm going to have to confront mm-hmm. that attitude, that idea, that person for whatever reason, but I know I'm going to have to because I actually want to preserve the relationship.
Of course.
Because if I keep allowing it
uh-huh.
and they don't know,
yes.
I'm even going to maybe move away.
Yes.
And I know people like that, mm-hmm. that will not confront other people. They'll just actually just pull away from the relationship. Then right. the other person on the other side's going, hey, what happened?
What happened?
What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just actively not looking for a fight,
sure.
that's what I don't want our listeners to think,
yeah.
is that the A of four attitudes towards confrontation.
Mm-hmm. Avoidant, aggressive, ambiguous,
right.
active.
Active is not, I'm looking for a fight. No.
Yeah.
But what you're looking and observant about is,
sure.
hey, I'm going to have to address this.
Yes. Yeah.
In order to keep this relationship close,
yeah.
healthy,
sure.
Whatever it is, I'm going to have to address this because if I let it go, uh-huh. I know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to pull away.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to fade off in the sunset and not care.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy either.
Right. Well, and it's kind of the old, you've said it on this podcast before, hey, unhealthy things grow too. And if you let something sit for long enough, something's going to grow in that pot, and it's not necessarily going to be the healthiest thing. And so being an active confronter is different than aggressive. It's having an intentionality to say, hey, I'm going to pursue the right next step for this.
Exactly right. I'm going to pursue the right methodology, let's say, about addressing this situation, mm-hmm. confronting mm-hmm. this person.
Because to leave it by itself is damaging.
Well, because everything's always growing.
Yeah.
How you're deliberate is going to dictate what grows.
Yes.
That's the idea. That's mm-hmm. the whole idea of that empty mm-hmm. pot with full of dirt mm-hmm. on your porch.
Yep.
You think nothing's in it. Go back 3 weeks later, you got some prehistoric animal growing out of that thing.
Yeah.
It's because underneath
yeah.
something was there. And that's the whole idea.
For
you know
sure.
what I mean?
So, for sure. Absolutely. And I think, even at the top of this, I think we should say, confrontation is not a negative thing.
No.
It's probably the reason we have a negative reaction to it.
Right.
It's because we've seen it done so poorly.
That's what we say. I mean, I've seen so many, being Italian, you can imagine how many confrontations that I've watched, witnessed, been a part of,
right.
you know what I mean? It's done unhealthy, even confrontations in my leadership,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Of just going, oh my gosh, I can't, I got so emotional. I got so passionate.
Yeah.
I said that, I should have said that, which triggered the other person.
Yeah.
It started out with good intent.
Yeah, sure.
I just wanted to tell you, hey, come on, man, I don't really want to hear that. What do you mean you don't want to hear? Well, I let their unhealthiness dictate or unearth my unhealthiness.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So just, it doesn't have to be negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's understanding that these principles apply not just to work and maybe in your organization, but in your family as well,
Yeah, I mean, in our families, what I have found is that the quicker I am to respond to something that is bothering me, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't like the way you said that. Or I thought, you know, whatever that is, the less negative comes out of confrontation.
Yeah.
I have to confront. Just the word confrontation sounds harsh.
Yeah.
It sounds negative. Yeah. It's just a word we use. Okay.
Right.
But the more I address, mm-hmm. that sounds very mature, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. The more I address a situation,
yeah.
the quicker I do, mm-hmm. The quicker the resolve, and I increase the percentage for healthiness.
Yes.
If I hold on to it too long, mm-hmm. oh man, mm-hmm. something's brewing inside of me mm-hmm. that when I do address it
yes.
and I do bring it out, it, uh-huh. it comes off a little bit more harsh. It comes off a little bit more aggressive. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it was like, hey, just the other day when you talked to me, if I hit it right away, it's immediate
yes.
and just go, hey, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Are we good? Because mm-hmm. it just felt like you were being, you know, not kind or hateful or right. disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I wasn't. I was just quick. I was out leaving. Oh, okay, cool. And then boom, gone. But if I let it fester in this Italian mind, oh man, are you kidding me? I'll come yeah. after you with a bat. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. And I think there's definitely a healthy practice, and you've developed this, and we're going to put all this in our all new show notes,
yes.
right? That really 10 questions that you can ask yourself before a confrontation, or maybe yeah. even evaluating a confrontation that you've already had,
yeah.
just as kind of a filter. We're just going to hit a couple okay. in the episode. We're okay. going to drop the rest of them in the show notes. Yeah. But just some questions when you're making an active confrontation, that's where we want to be. And so thinking of these as kind of a mindset check. So here's the first one. Right. Did I separate the person from the wrong action?
Yeah, I think it's important that in correcting people, when you correct someone, Brad, let me tell you, you put people on defensive. You make people defensive. Remember, it's the action, not the person. We have to learn the art of sometimes in confrontation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You may have done something unwise, but you're not an unwise person.
It's the behavior versus the character.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not talking about your character. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, hey, man, I got to talk to you about something. I would not have posted that picture. Mm-hmm. I would not have posted that comment. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't make you dumb. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you might have done something dumb,
yeah.
but it doesn't make you a dummy.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's the whole point. It's yeah. in confrontation, we have to learn to separate the action from the individual.
Yeah.
So don't address the person, address the behavior. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to separate those two. And I think it's important to remember that confrontation is not about you making your point, mm-hmm. you being the smartest in the room, you being putting yourself above anyone. It's about resolving a conflict that's happening. Mm-hmm. That's the key thing. When you make confrontation about making a point,
yep.
you're going to attack the person.
Sure.
When you go, hey man, I just want to resolve that there's this conflict going on.
Yes.
We got to clear the air. Mm-hmm. Then you're talking about behavior.
Right.
It's important to separate, uh-huh. but it's important to remember
yeah.
you addressing a situation mm-hmm. is not about you proving a point.
Yeah.
It's about bringing, I mean, we're people of faith, Brad.
Yeah.
So it's about bringing shalom back.
Yes.
It's about bringing peace back into the relationship.
Yeah.
That's key.
Yeah, and it's not approaching it with the intent to win, but to win them.
Exactly.
You know, it's coming to that resolution.
And the relationship wins.
Yes.
I'm doing this for the sake of the relationship.
Because we all know sometimes we've won an argument, but we've lost the relationship.
Which yeah. is so unhealthy,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I know.
It's a hard thing. Yeah, so the first one is, you know, did I separate the person from the wrong action? The
right.
second one is, was I specific? And I think this is where a lot of people get tripped up. Was I specific about what I'm confronting them about?
Yeah, I like to say we soft land the confrontation.
Yeah.
We soft land it so soft that nobody really knows what we said and what the issue was. Mm-hmm. So we have to be completely concise and clear
yeah.
and specific.
Yeah.
When you said that thing, no. When you said and used the words that you heard, mm-hmm. not you, when you said that thing, it's too ambiguous.
Sure.
So I think the second filter we can use and remember is always being very specific about what might be the issue, what might have offended you,
yes.
what made you mad,
yeah.
what hurt you. Mm-hmm. Be very specific. Don't soft land it.
Yes.
You know, were you specific? Was I specific? If the confrontation went bad, I can almost guarantee that if the confrontation, you confronted somebody, your heart was for it to be healthy. If it came out bad, if mm-hmm. the fruit of the conflict
yeah.
came out bad, it's like I can almost point back to, well, you weren't specific.
Yes.
Because they don't really know.
And it's not necessarily just soft landing it. I think sometimes it's coming in hot. It's coming in. It's you're confronting someone and you don't actually know what you're upset about.
That's right.
You know, and so it just be, well, you, I don't, I'm I just mad. Well, I'm frustrated.
Right, right.
Well, it's if you can't get specific, it's probably not the time to confront.
Exactly right. Exactly. And we all know people like that. I said something because you just made me mad.
Right. Well, what are you mad about? I don't know, but I'm mad.
That's right. So before you open your mouth, I always like to say, I'll ask myself before I say something, describe the emotion I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Before I open my mouth, what am I really feeling? Am I feeling hurt?
Yes.
Am I feeling just angry? Am I feeling offended? Why?
Yes.
I'm feeling hurt. Why?
Yes.
I'm feeling fear. That made me, dude, don't say that. It makes me scared. Why?
Yes.
Once I know the why of why I'm feeling a certain way, it's going to make the confrontation much more clear and specific.
Yep.
So don't open your mouth
until
you know.
I love that. And that's actually another one of the questions in there is connecting to the emotions. Like, what was it that I felt in that?
Right.
And something I think that we should put in the show notes is there's something from a counseling playbook called the, it's like a wheel of emotions.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
we'll put that in the show notes. Okay,
and
that's
those
killer.
Are so helpful for understanding where do I land on this particular issue? Why am I upset?
Right.
Identifying
most
that.
People actually, you know, we'll put them in the show notes for the listener, like you said, but most people don't realize we actually don't know the wheel of emotion, meaning we know the like what I call the big five. I'm angry, I'm hurt,
yes.
You made me insecure, I'm fearful, and but there's like 20. And so you know, I'm feeling pensive. I bet you no one knows what that means. I'm feeling, and when you know how to describe what you feel more accurately, the more specific then you can be when you're confronting.
Yeah,
and that's what I love that.
That's so good. Come on, we out here helping people. Just lead. All right, third one is, did I confront only what the person can change?
Oh my God.
I think it's just the expectation conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of times we expect just because we confront it, well, they should change it.
Right.
Well, can they? I don't know if there's a specific situation that you can think of off the top of your head, but
yeah, the situation was, it was actually an employee in our organization years ago. Every time an idea came up, their first reaction was based out of fear. Yeah, but what if? Yeah, but what if? And I was like, I finally took him aside and said, hey man, you got to help me with something. So, which is conversation. Hey, I didn't talk about the person. I just talked about the issue. And I just said, why is it like that the first thing out of your mouth in an idea tank or in a creative meeting is the negative? Like, what if? And what I realized is they couldn't change. They couldn't change it without doing some deep work.
Yeah.
You know, through counseling and some. So what I had to do is I had to change the nature of my relationship with the person because I don't want to frustrate them.
Yeah.
I know they wanted to be part of the team, but they just weren't capable of being part of the team. I'm expecting something. There's an old saying, you know, you can't get blood from a rock.
Yeah.
So what? Stop looking at the rock for the blood. I mean, there's no way you can do it.
Right.
So it was like, just get them out of that situation because I love them. I don't want to be frustrated with them all the time. However, they love me and they don't want, they can't, they are incapable of delivering or changing that without some outside support and outside work.
Yeah. So fourth one is, did I offer a plan to remedy the problem? This is really just the idea of being solution oriented.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And a lot of the complete list in the show notes are from my experiences of having confronted people in such an unhealthy way. I had to learn that nothing can maybe frustrate people more than talking about a problem and then leaving a room and then it's assumed just go change.
Yeah.
Just go fix it.
Right.
So healthy leadership is always going to bring, I always say healthy leadership is always going to bring two solutions for every one problem. So when I'm confronting and I'm asking someone, hey, can you change or can you do, hey, is it possible, like when you say that, when you do that, it makes me feel, you know, not in a wimpy way, but in a nice, real, clarifying, strong way. Hey, here are just some suggestions. Maybe these are suggestions. I'm not saying, hey, here are things, fix it, do it. Otherwise, we're not be friends. I don't mean that. I want to come to the table in my relationships as someone who's always bringing things that are going to help the relationship grow healthier.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if I'm confronting, I'm also bringing some solutions, some possible solutions.
Right.
That's I don't know that they're going to work, but I'm just letting you know I'm committed to this relationship so much so that I'm opening my mouth and doing it in a healthy way.
Yes.
What you said offended me or hurt me.
Yes.
Doesn't mean we're not friends, doesn't mean I don't don't love you. Hey, absolutely. And let me just help you with something. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could, maybe what about, have you ever tried?
Yes.
Whatever it is. I don't care if it's a book mm-hmm. or a technique, mm-hmm. you know, of slow breathing. Yeah. Whatever it is, I'm going to bring something to the table because I want to be seen as somebody, as a catalyst for healthiness.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just that very tangible, if you have a concern, it's attaching that concern to a very practical request for change.
Exactly right.
What's the difference between offering a solution or a plan to remedy the problem and then just being like the fix-it guy?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the idea is when we say go fix it, is there's an assumption that we know how to fix it.
Yeah, okay.
But when I just give a suggestion on maybe a remedy plan or just something to help, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if it'll work, mm-hmm. but I've done enough research. I checked.
Yeah.
Maybe this will work for you. When I'm just in fix it mode, it comes off like I can fix this because I know how and I've done it before and get out of my way and I'm going to fix it. Yeah. Whatever you do, don't confront me. I'm going to do it right.
Yeah.
Whereas when I'm just going, hey, I'm almost collaborating in a sense of going, hey, so here's what I heard some people do, like when they have bad tempers and they fly off the handle, they count to 10.
Got it.
Or they go and they self-soothe with them as a picture of you know, laying out on the beach, relaxing, sipping an umbrella drink.
Right.
Right. I don't know that it'll work, but I've heard these things do work.
Yes.
Fix it mode is incredibly dogmatic.
Yeah.
Suggestion mode and offering mode of what can be better is like, hey, let's figure out together.
Yes.
How can this be healthier?
Yeah. 100%. Like I love it. So we've got, you know, four of those questions. We've got a few more that we'll put in the show notes, you know, that you can work through.
And the feel wheel. I call it the feel wheel.
The feel wheel. Yeah. I can't even say that. The feel wheel.
The feel wheel. It's a tongue twister. Wheel. It's going to help everybody identify how you feel, describe how you feel so you can bring clarity to the confrontation because confrontation, when done in the healthiest way, is the biggest catalyst for building strong, lasting relationships.
Come on.
You.
Thank you so much.
Just lead.
Hey, that's it for this week's episode of the Just Lead podcast. Don't forget, we release new episodes every first and third Wednesday of the month. For more resources, check out the show notes below. While you're at it, make sure to tap that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with a friend. See you next time.